The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All-Ireland camogie captain and TV presenter Anna Geary has released her first book. It's called Anna's Game Plan, and it delves into the simple tactics that we can all use to achieve a better quality of life. And Anna's with me now. Good morning, Anna, and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me in.
Now, the book is very interesting because it is a game plan. I mean, it's not just you read it from cover to cover and then say, well, what was that all about? You actually structure it. So explain the structure.
Yeah, and it's very important that people can dip in and out of it then, because, you know, a lot of us are busy and we have things going on. So the way I broke it down is, like you said, it's the tactics that I use to cope with things, either the good or the bad in life. And it starts with acceptance. And I think for me, the reason why I started with that is for a lot of us, whether it's body image, whether it's the, you know, what's going on in our lives, whether even it's, you know, you're kind of feeling a bit lost, once you kind of accept where you are, everything can start from that. So that was the first chapter. Then it moves into purpose. From there, then we move into consistency, challenge, and the end, kindness. And I think it was nice to wrap up with kindness, because acceptance and kindness kind of go hand in hand. So like the book came full circle.
It's funny, if you talk to people about who they like to have as a partner in life, at the end of the day, when you distill it down, someone who's kind is the most important thing.
And I think as well, someone that's compassionate. I think life experience in the last while has taught me that compassion is something that's so undervalued and underestimated at times, and not just compassion for others. I think the challenge for all of us is to be compassionate with ourselves, no matter what's going on. Maybe you mightn't be where you want to be in life. And I think that for me, even for my own learning, as I was writing the book, I realised, God, I give myself a hard time too, just like everybody else.
Now, the first section, because there are five chapters in the first section, the game plan for acceptance. Straight away, I was drawn to don't compare, don't despair. Now, that's what kids do all the time these days. They compare what other people have. It can be as simple as where, you know, he brought you or she brought you for a birthday celebration, and it's compared to what other people did. It's insidious and toxic.
It is toxic, but I think it's not just kids. It's everybody. I think all of us are guilty at times of looking to what everyone else has. Even take Mother's Day yesterday. How many of us were looking at social media and watching people maybe out for dinner, or they were dressed up and they were doing things with family? And sometimes you can nearly feel in your own life less than. And I think for me, it's important to give people like a practical guide to find ways in your own life to navigate through that, to understand that, you know, comparison can actually be quite a useful tool if you use it in a healthy way. But the problem is, like you just said, it's toxic, because we look at what Mary and what John are doing. And even this morning, how many people use their phone as an alarm clock? And I speak about this in the book, where I had to train myself out of it, and I actually bought my own alarm clock, because I was on my phone before I had even got out of bed in the morning, before I'd even said good morning to my husband. I'd swiped across, I was on social media, and all of a sudden you're in this reactive state, your cortisol is up because you're looking at everyone
else. My tip, I mentioned it last week, use an old phone without a SIM as an alarm clock.
Oh, that's a great idea as well. Yeah. And you don't even need to buy an alarm clock. So you're saving money as well. I love that. And it is. It's all the small things that we can do.
The other thing about acceptance is accepting the body you're in. Now, that may not be easy for people when, again, they're scrolling through, whether it's Tinder looking for a date, or whether it's just looking at stuff on TikTok or on Instagram. You know, everything now is about, is the image Instagrammable?
And then the filters.
Then you're expected to accept the way you are, even though you say, I don't compare to that person. My biceps don't measure up to, you know, Hugo Keenan's.
There is a massive pressure on people now to look a certain way. And I think social media has definitely amplified that. But for me as a sports person, for years, I grew up with a really healthy mentality around that your body is an instrument. It's not an ornament. It's not about how good it looks in a suit or in a pair of skinny jeans, even though social media might tell you that. It is about what it can do. And it's about helping people to accept their body and, dare I say, even love your body. You don't have to love everything about yourself, but it's about coming to terms with what your starting point is. And if you do want to make improvements when it comes to body, you know, to own it and be okay with that. And then you figure out what's the best way to go about
it. I know people will be saying, it's all right for her, you know, because she scores the winning goal or point or whatever it might be. So she knows her body's working quite well for her. Thank you very much. You know, your body rewards with its activity.
It does, but I have a 7-month-old baby and I have gone through a lot of changes in my own body. When I retired from playing with Cork, you know, my body changed because I wasn't training as hard. Then I became pregnant and I had to shift my mentality as well around watching my body change before me and feeling that lack of control. And I think that's a big thing that people feel, whether you're aging or you're, you know, whether you're dealing with illness. It's the lack of control sometimes, but it's how to take that control back, Pat. It's like to feel that power when so many of the things around you, you can't control. It's picking out the few things, as we say in sport, controlling the controllables. And that's where the confidence comes from then and the self-belief. And that's where you can claw your way back.
Now, you have in the second section a game plan for purpose. And it's people really need to know what they're looking for out of life and go for it.
How many of us live in autopilot mode? You know, we do the same thing all the time. We're going through the motions. And, you know, we're saying at the start of every year, the New Year's resolutions, you know, next year it'll be different. Next year I'm going to do this. And then we just float along. And often,
and we never kind of look back and say, God, I didn't do very well last year.
Yeah, but
you do the same thing again. Dry January. Here we go.
Exactly. And I'll be happy when I do this and I'll be happy when I lose the weight. But then that never comes. So it is about finding ways to set yourself realistic goals and to actually ask yourself, like, what is it that you want to be doing? Because we're too busy thinking about what everyone else wants and that's what we should be doing. But maybe that's not what you want. So sometimes the most difficult thing when it comes to purpose is figuring out what it is that you actually want. And then you can put the plan in place.
And you have a tactics board for purpose in the book. Now, you also talk about consistency and you say that our brains love consistency. And yet, if you want to change something, you can't be consistent. So what do you mean?
Exactly. In some ways, it almost sounds contradictory. But I mean, really, consistency, for me, in a nutshell, it's about showing up every day and showing up however, you know, whatever your energy levels are like, whatever has happened, you know, the night before, the day before. But sometimes we feel unless we are our absolute best, unless we can give something 100%, we just say, oh, well, I'll try again tomorrow because today isn't the day. But if you can only give 5% and that's all you can give today,
then give the 5.
Exactly. Because if, you know, whatever your goal is, taking one baby step towards your goal is better than staying static and taking a big leap next week and then stopping again. So it's
in a related manner, later on in the program, we have our Monday expert who's going to be talking about sick leave. When you phone in, you know, what are your legal situations if you phone in? Should you stay at home if you're feeling under the weather? Or if you feel 5%, should you go in and infect the whole office?
Well, no, exactly. I'm definitely not an advocate for infecting the office. So maybe it's working from home and still doing a little bit of work.
Now, one of the other things that keeps everyone going is that a human thing that you want to achieve. So you set yourself, or life throws at you, challenges.
Yeah, and we all have challenges. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's illness, whether it's dealing with grief, whether it's dealing with financial stresses. And it's about finding ways to cope with those. And I think that's...
Now, you've been through that mill recently.
Yeah, so I lost my dad and my brother in the last 18 months. And in the middle of that, had my little son. So for me, I suppose the book was something that I wrote because I felt I had things to share about how to navigate
through. You've had a double bereavement and you're writing a book all at the same time.
Well, you go back to purpose, Pat. If in some ways that gave me purpose every day, it gave me something to get up for and actually to focus my mind when, you know, it was the most challenging time of my life. And it was. It's been the strangest 2 years. I've had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But many people are the same. They just have different circumstances.
Now, I've no doubt that you have resilience because you don't get to your level in sport without resilience. How do you make sure that people build resilience? Because you don't want... You know, maybe a generation that are heading for the snowflake direction, you don't want them to be that.
You have to think about everything that's gone on in your life, and particularly everyone has got challenging times and you've come through them. And it's about looking back in retrospect and saying, well, what did I learn from that? And often we are stronger than we give ourselves credit for. Like I mentioned about that compassion, about giving yourself that credit, because for me, confidence is such an important thing that we all need to improve, you know, that self-belief. And that goes hand in hand with resilience, is acknowledging that, yeah, you know, there have been crappy times and there will be more to come, but I've dealt with them. Yeah. And if I haven't dealt with them in the best way possible, well, then I'll learn from that.
And when times are particularly tough, you look back and say, how in God's name did I get through that?
Yeah.
But and I did.
And acknowledgement, I think that acknowledgement is so important, is that, you know, this was really difficult. And maybe somebody's going through something right now, but knowing that you will come out the other side and you will be a stronger person because of it. And, you know, you mentioned earlier on about consistency. Like, even for all of us, if you think about our days, and we're all busy and we're all in this hustle culture and we're buying into it. If you were to take 1% of your day, right, we have 1,440 minutes. 1% is just in and around 15 minutes. And if you were to dedicate that 15 minutes every single day to doing something that gives you joy or achieving a goal or anything, in a year, that's over 90 hours. Like, imagine what all of us could do if we were dedicating 90 hours to something.
I mean, it could be something like, if I'm learning to play the guitar.
Absolutely.
Like, every 15 minutes a day, I've done 90 hours in a year.
Yeah. Or
I might be pretty good at the end.
Yeah, meditation, you know, wanting to be a barista, whatever it is. 15 minutes. Mm. If you gave yourself that gift, anything, you know, anything could happen out of it.
The final section is all about kindness. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to those you're close to, and be kind to others. And I'm greatly taken by something that Brendan Gleeson said in a recent interview with me, where, you know, the problem for the star, like Brendan Gleeson, is everywhere he goes, selfie city. And, you know, you might be tempted to say no or to turn away. And His mother said to him, you know, Brendan, how little you have to do to make people happy. Isn't that great?
And isn't that one of the greatest gifts that all of us can give, is to allow people in our company to feel happiness and joy. But also, it's when you know, we're in our own company the most out of anybody else. So it's allowing ourselves the opportunity to be happy. And my hope, my genuine hope, Pat, for the book is that when people read it, that they can find ways themselves to feel that happiness or that joy or that confidence, that courage, whatever they need to take out of the book. Like, people will take different things out of the book for different reasons. And I really hope that once they dip into it, they will get something out of it so they can take it with them.
Well, it's called Anna's Game Plan, subtitle, Conquer Your Hang-ups, Unlock Your Confidence, Find Your Purpose. It's published by Sandy Cove, which is an imprint of Penguin Books, and its author, Anna Geary. Anna, thank you very much for joining us in studio this morning.
Thank you, Pat. It was a
pleasure. The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.